We're a blessing to the world. Wayne Muller writes in Legacy of the Heart, "The practice of loving kindness must find its root deep within us. The story is told that Gandhi once settled in a village and at once began serving the needs of the villagers who lived there. A friend inquired if Gandhi's objectives in serving the poor were purely humanitarian. Gandhi replied, "Not at all. I am here to serve no one else but myself, to find my own self-realization through service to these village folk." As Gandhi wisely points out, even as we serve others, we are working on ourselves. Every act, every word, every gesture of genuine compassion naturally nourishes our hearts as well. It is not a question of who is healed first. When we attend to ourselves with compassion and mercy, more healing is made available for others. And when we serve others with an open and generous heart, great healing comes to us. So our time of centering today will be a loving kindness meditation. Loving kindness is an unconditional opening of a compassionate heart, an offering to ourselves and to others. May we be nourished with compassion in this time of shared stillness. So I invite you now to take a moment to shift and settle. Connect to your breath, sensing the breath in and out, and to feel your body supported wherever you are. Allow your hands to rest comfortably in your lap or by your side. Close your eyes if you're comfortable doing so, or simply soften your gaze. The first step in a loving kindness meditation is bringing that loving kindness towards ourselves, allowing our hearts to open with tenderness and self-compassion, and then bringing that to others and to all beings. Allow yourself to remember and open up to your own inherent goodness. Remembering times you've been kind or generous or spoken the truth. Can you look at yourself through the eyes of one who loves you? A beloved friend, a pet, the eyes of God. As you invite in this experience of loving kindness and self-compassion, notice how you feel in your body. Can you let go of any thoughts of times you are not at your best? And rest with this feeling of open, unconditional love for a few moments. Breathing in peace and acceptance. Breathing out peace and acceptance. And beginning now to wish yourself well. May I be filled with loving kindness. And may I be held in loving kindness. May I feel connected and calm. May I accept myself with compassion. May I be happy, safe, and free. May I be peaceful and at ease. And now open the circle of loving kindness by bringing to mind someone you love, a person or a beloved pet, and call to mind what you love about them. In your heart, feel your appreciation for this dear one and begin your simple offering. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be held in loving kindness. May you feel my love and compassion now. May you be happy, safe, and free. May you be peaceful and at ease. Now we bring this to someone that we might see regularly, but we don't know well. Maybe a neighbor you've waved to but haven't met. Or a clerk in a store. Bring this person to mind now and offer these words of loving kindness. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be held in loving kindness. May you feel my love and compassion now. May you be happy, safe, and free. May you be peaceful and at ease. And now we bring to mind someone for whom it is hard to feel sympathy or compassion. And can you let go of any feelings of resentment, anger, fear, or distrust, so you can be free? Try to see this person as a whole being, deserving of love and kindness, as someone who also feels pain and anxiety, as someone else who suffers. And extend to this person, as much as you're able, these words of loving kindness. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be held in loving kindness. May you feel my love and compassion and forgiveness. May you be happy, safe, and free. May you be peaceful and at ease. And now allow your awareness to open out in all directions, to yourself, to those you love, to neighbors near and far that you don't even know, to those you find difficult. Allow your awareness to open out to all beings, humans and animals living everywhere, those living in poverty, wealth, peace, hunger, abundance. Be aware of all the joys and sorrows that all beings everywhere experience. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be happy, safe, and at peace. May all beings awaken and be free. May all beings be happy. May we be happy. May we support the happiness of all our sisters and brothers. May we be free from fear and suffering. And may we ease the fear and suffering of our hurting world in every way we can. May we be healed and well. May we be instruments of healing and wellness for our Mother the Earth, for our resources, for each other. May we be at peace. May we bring about peace by working for justice and liberty for all. May we be filled with loving kindness. And may we be love and kindness and truth and peace in action, in thought, in heart, always and in all ways. May it be so. Amen. So I had an idea to do an experiment today. So we'll see how this goes. I have some words of message for us, and I had hoped to invite some brave souls up to share what being of sacred service means to them. So I think I have lovingly strong-armed a few souls to do that. I mean, lovingly invited. My kids will tell you it's really the same thing. And as Karina so beautifully shared during the fellowship hour today, our hospitality on Zoom will really focus on a specific way that people over the years have given of themselves and received the gift from being on the board. So I do hope that as many of you as possible can join us for that. And so we'll begin with a little bit of message. There'll be some invitation. A few brave souls wrote to me so that I could share their words, and we'll see how the experiment goes today. 2 weeks ago, as we celebrated the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., I asked us to consider, what is mine to do? Last week, we heard from the amazing David Roth about the power of listening to voices that are not often heard, and the power of using our own voices. And then during that beautiful one song service that we re-recorded parts of it, we heard the beautiful words of Thich Nhat Hanh reminding us that we inter are. We inter are. And so today, steeped in our own sense of loving kindness, compassion, and self-compassion, I'm inviting us to both celebrate the many ways individuals in this community and in the communities of which you are a part outside of here show up to give in sacred service. And I'm going to invite us into some holy discomfort. During this time of message, as we hear from some of our Unitics, Sam, really, such a delightful word. I hope it doesn't cause offense because I really, truly love it. I found myself over the last couple of weeks really reflecting back to that article I mentioned from Unity Magazine, Where Will You Stand? By Reverend Ogun Holder. Because he reminded us of Dr. King's words that provoke this holy discomfort. As we discern if we are good people who prefer a negative peace that is the absence of tension to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. Here again is a part of today's daily word. World peace. I envision all people living in harmony. Sometimes I wonder about my place in a world that is changing so rapidly. I realize that many of the world's people may be wondering the same thing. I pray, reclaiming peace by feeling my divine identity as a child of God. I remember that all people share this divine identity. I include all the world's people in my prayer, envisioning us coming together in harmony to create a peaceful world. As we affirm, and we just did, every week, the prayerful gift of envisioning a peaceful world is at the heart of our vision and mission. And our call to the paradox of both being and doing. We pray and trust that affirms that we walk in love, that affirms our co-creation with the power and presence of God. And we do this in service to our community and the world. The daily word from January 15th, Dr. King's birthday, is serve. I find joy in service. Serving brings greater meaning to my life. It is an affirmation of spiritual affluence that extends beyond myself. My talents are put to even greater use when I share them. The more I share the work of my hands and the love in my heart, the more my joy grows, sending ripples of blessings into the world. We are the heart. We are the hands. We are the voice of Spirit on earth, and who we are and all we do is a blessing to the world. So in celebration of that blessing, I want to hold up a mirror to a few, and I know that I am missing some of the ways that people in this community show up, but these are three ways that, since I did not get an onslaught of volunteers, I thought to mirror back to you some quiet ways I have noticed this community showing up. The first one is the ushers. Are there any ushers in this room today? Yes. So each week, this gift of hospitality rotates through different people, some of whom are here, some of whom are at home today. And this seemingly simple job has a profound effect. The kind greeting at the door is the first welcome that a newcomer receives. When an usher says, "Good morning, I don't think I've seen you here before. Welcome." It is a tangible sign of our highest aspirations as a church. All are welcome here. And of course, it's that gift of welcome, hospitality, and connection that keeps long-time Unity family members feeling connected here as well. It's also the part that we miss when we can't be as often in person. So that calls us to be creative in how to build that sense of connection. So that's part of our call. How do we create that sense of connection, that sense of welcome, even beyond when we can be in person with each other? And so to all of our ushers here in the sanctuary and at home, we thank you. You are sign number one of the welcome that is a part of our church. If you feel called to be part of that sacred service, you should contact Dottie Frament, and she'll get you all set. There's also a whole band of happy readers. If you've ever wanted to hear someone read the Daily Word, there's a whole team of people who rotate and commit to a week at a time to read the Daily Word so that you can call the office phone, select extension 15, and hear somebody say those words out loud to you. This is a thing I just found out about myself recently when our phones weren't working. And one of those beautiful team members said, your phones aren't working. I tried to leave this message. What a gift to be able to not only hear that inspiration, but to hear somebody saying those words to us as though that was the direct message to us. Again, if you feel called to be part of that amazing team, just quietly doing this beautiful gift of service, you should contact Dave Farrell, and he will get you signed right up. Prayer chaplains, we give that message every Sunday about the fact that we're a praying community and the availability of the prayer chaplains, because so many of us have felt that gift of loving, affirming support through their prayer, through our shared prayer. Whether it's a joy or a sorrow, we know that we are together, just as you said, Karina. That gift of Dennis leading the prayer chaplains right now gives us the tangible sense of our connection. In the same way that that welcome does, we know we are not alone. If your gift, if your charism is the gift of holding people in the light and love that you want to share, if that is your call, I invite you to reach out to our own Dennis Ryan, and he can fill you in. I hear a call from out of nowhere, and from everywhere I go, I hear a call. Now will I answer. I do wish Emily was here to sing that to you, or I could have just called on one of you beautiful voices. I am not going to sing it today. But how do we hear that call? Are there any brave souls in the room who would like to come up and talk about how you have shared your call, how you have heard your call, how you have shared sacred service in some way? You can come up to this mic. Okay, so you're going to stand there. All right.
This is about a little bit confusing, but I was on the board, and we used to have hospitality before COVID. And one of the terrible jobs of people on the board was hospitality because it never was good enough, and people took it personally. And so I watched Dottie, Heather, and a couple others kind of work at it for a while and get frustrated and bow out. So I volunteered to be the hospitality chairman. Now, people that know me, if you want somebody who's good at food preparation, I would be on the bottom of the list pulling everybody else up. But I volunteered with the idea of if people criticize, I won't take it personally. You might call that ignoring criticism. But anyway, I was hospitality for 2 years, and hospitality was great, and nobody ever signed up for the sign-up sheet, but somehow, somewhere, during that 2 years, somebody just out of the blue took care of everything that needed to be taken care of. So I guess the point I want to make is sometimes you can volunteer knowing that you shouldn't, but spirit makes it all work out. And so we had 2 years of good hospitality before COVID ruined it.
Let's sing this one for Paul and all the hospitality folks.
You are the heart, you are the hands, you are the voice of spirit on earth, and who you are, and all you do is a blessing to the world.
For all those of you who've been praying for me, I was just showing off the benefits of my physical therapy by walking up here without a limp. My name is Dennis Ryan, and most of you think of me as a fixture here. And I guess there's a reason for that. This final Sunday in January is my 27th anniversary here. However, prior to that, for over 30 years, I had no spiritual community and no regular spiritual practice. I came here. I was welcome. I recognized a few men I knew from the men's movement back there in the 90s. But everyone greeted me fondly. And one of the founding members, the attorney who drafted the Constitution and bylaws, when he shook my hand, he said, "It's great to see new leadership here at Unity." I looked to see who was standing behind me. So, 1 week at class, I turned to Paul Barner, because I'd already run down, ticked off all the list. Usher, no, can't do that. No, can't do that, can't do that. Don't know anything about church. So I said to Paul, "I'd like to be on the prayer team." And he put me on the prayer team, and I figured if I do it wrong, no one will know. Well, in the 1990s, telephone answering machines proliferated. You're supposed to make the call to the next person, and you're not supposed to give up until you get a human. Well, I ended up having to call just about everybody. And that got me over the threshold to commitment. But what really got me over the threshold was finding my big brother, Morgan Barclay, who went on to become Reverend Morgan Barclay, just exactly 15 months to the day, older than me, took me under his wing and invited me to volunteer. "Would you like to be a teller on Sunday and count the gifts?" And he partnered me with Gene Robinson, the licensed Unity teacher. What a beautiful gift to spend time in her company working and taking ownership. And he invited me to be his bookkeeper while he raised the money to buy this building. And then the next thing I know, I'm invited to run for the board. And I've only been here like 13 or 14 months. So when they read the qualifications of my running mate, the beautiful Ms. Isabel Mills, her credentials were this long. her accomplishments, her professional accomplishments were many, and even more impressive to be accomplished by a woman of color. So when I stepped up, I simply said, "You've already heard from the Hall of Famer. I'm the Rookie of the Year." And the board, in their infinite wisdom, made me their spokesperson. So here we are, brand new homeowners. And as always happens, you aren't comfortable with the increased expense of homeownership. And so it was necessary, as the spokesperson, to give the prosperity report card, to say how things are going. And that was a major challenge. I had done public speaking professionally, teaching technology concepts to people who were dedicated because they needed this to do their job. However, learning to speak my spirit truth, that was absolutely the biggest gift. That was taking in the knowledge that I am divine, that thoughts are things, that prayer works, and putting that into action, saying those things to a room full of people and not making them feel that they are shamed or guilted if there's an appearance of lack. And I spoke my spirit truth. We had a huge podium in those days, and no one could see. My knees were blurring. They were knocking so much. But I spoke my truth. And one by one, people would come up to me and say, "We believe you. We trust you. And we don't feel any negative reaction to your words." And so, what are you going to do with this? How are you going to raise the bar with this? Well, I thought the smoothest talking public speaker I'd ever heard was Duke Ellington. And he could speak to a room full of strangers, thousands of them, and tell them how much he loved them. So I stood up there, and I made eye contact at the end of my monthly report, and I said, "I want you to know that I love you madly." And they believed me. So when you become a fixture, you're there to give. I went to a restaurant once that was in a mansion, and they had lovely rooms, and they offered to give me a tour. And in the hallway was a fixture, a spigot with a bail. You push a glass into the bail, and I said, "What's this for?" We were out in the Finger Lakes. He said, "Well, Finger Lakes white wine, of course." So when you're a fixture, you're not necessarily a rusty old non-working so-and-so. You've found your love, and you're giving it. Thanks. Taking ownership in this community was one of the best things I ever did. So be prayerful out there, and know that I do love you madly.
You are the heart. You are the hands, you are the voice, the spirit on earth, and who you are, and all you do is a blessing to the world.
Hi. So one of the blessings for me in stepping up to service is to be able to walk up here and stand up in front of a microphone and talk, and I don't even have notes in front of me. That is a miracle for me. I never could do that before, never. I was asked to speak about my experience in service with a refugee family, but first I just want to say that when I did start to do service at Unity before stepping up to the board, it was just a really good thing for me. I started as an usher, I think, and did a couple of other things like the Christmas family adoption, and you know, gradually just kind of got more and more involved. And what that did for me was gave me more of a sense of community and belonging here. You know, I started to know people more and just feel really comfortable to the point that I can now do this. So it was very, very worth it for me because this is my spiritual home and it's where I want to belong and be comfortable. So I would just really encourage anyone who's interested in stepping up to any kind of service, take a little step and see how it feels. sorry. The other thing I do since I retired from teaching, which was the first time I had any time and energy to do anything, that's a whole nother story, but I did start volunteering with the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants in Albany, and as well as getting involved here. And about a year later, I took on the mentorship of a family, which a lot of you already know. it was a family of 10 at that point, and it's now, 5 years later, a family of 12. I've seen them through a couple of births. And a house fire this fall, and settling them into a new apartment, basically starting all over again after 4 years of settling. And it was, it's been a challenging job to do, but it has had so many benefits for me. I have to say that for me, volunteering and getting out in the community and serving others gives me a purpose in my life that I would not have had otherwise. And it helps my own mental health because I'm not sitting in my own head all the time. I'm not, it's not about me, you know? It's about being a part of the world and doing what I can to be there for other people. And it just gives me a wonderful sense, like it was said earlier, you know, it helps me. It helps me to feel good about myself and good about what I can do to be a part of the world. So that's what I can say for now. Thanks.
You are the heart.
You are the hands. You are the voice.
So, oh, go ahead. Oh, Reverend Bridget, she was looking at me. So Reverend Bridget asked me to say this, and I'll keep it brief, but I don't know about you, but once in a while I get depressed. Sometimes I get depressed for a while, and it's been fascinating to see the contrast between feeling down, and then I'm thinking about myself, and I'm like, oh, I'm lonely, blah, blah, blah. And then when I maybe run a spirit group, or I come and sing, or I talk to a friend, or I help somebody, the contrast is tremendous. So that's all I have to say about that, is when I feel, when I'm out of my own head and taking care of other people, it's a huge boost for me. That's it.
You are the man.
You are the voice of spirit on earth,
and who you are,
is a blessing to the world.
Is there any more on your list? So I guess I'll stay up here since there's a microphone handy. I wasn't actually asked, I don't think, but here I am. So I'm Carol Morris. I'm besides being a member of the music team, which is a gift to I'm also the vice president of the board, which is also a gift, and that's really what came to me as I was listening to other people talking is it, you can sort of think about being on the board as, oh, being on the board, it's all the, it's all the, you can think about it that way. And that might be your experience if you think about it that way, but it's really a choice to think about it differently. And it's been such a gift to be on the board and to be part of the circle of people who are holding the spiritual consciousness of this community and helping to steer the ship. So if you like to be involved in what's going on, being on the board is the place to do that, because you're really a part of what's happening. I started here. I came. Somebody heard me singing from the audience. Actually, Reverend Crystal heard me singing from the audience. She said, you should be in the choir. And so I started with that. And then I joined Buildings and Grounds Committee and then was invited to sing with the music team. And now I think they're stuck with me. And then became a member of the church and then stepped onto the board. So there's lots of pathways to service in this church. Oh my gosh.
You are the heart.
You are the hand. You are the voice of spirit on earth. And who you are, who you are,
and all you do
is a blessing to the world.
Oh, well. Phil, we're not going to show either of those two slides till 2 weeks from now when, thanks to all of you who stepped in, and I didn't know you were going to, I prepared a whole message that will be Sacred Service Part 2 in 2 weeks. Like, I am prepared ahead of time. And thank you for the gift of sharing your stories. So before we kind of wrap this part up, though, I did have two people reach out with their stories that I wanted to share with you. Don't kill me, Jeannie. One of the things I actually want to thank Jeannie for is that in her adorable, lovely, heartfelt note to me, she's like, did you know that if you Google Sacred Service, there's a gelato called Sacred Serve? And it's vegan. They sacred source the stuff to make it, and I think we should all go to Chicago to the Sacred Serve gelato store. I think they also deliver. Or by mail. But anyways, what I want to land for just a moment before I read Sam and Jeannie's and to just bring in how all of what you've heard today, all of the stories that people have shared from their heart and what Jeannie and Sam sent, it's a way of just recognizing a small piece of something that needs to be done and a calling in your own heart to say, oh, yes, I can do that thing. And with your head saying no, but your heart saying yes, trusting that stepping in. And Jeannie, what I loved about what you shared is your sense of how hard it is to think about yourself in those terms of, I don't know, I'm doing things that I enjoy. So does that count? And Jeannie, yes. Your years of being a big sister mentor, a Girl Scout mentor, a special education teacher, and working with the differently abled students that were a part of your day today, the joys and challenges of that absolutely are sacred service. Reaching out to a neighbor to share a skill that you have in sewing pillowcases for children in the hospital, all of those things are sacred service because they stem from the gift that you are. So thank you. And Sam sent in a message. Les, I don't want to have you melt on me over there, Jeannie. Sam sent in a message about something that he and Heather's on the board right now, and Sam is a past board member, and he was on the search team that found me. And yet what I wanted to know from him is something that they have been a part of for a long time, and we are part of the Focus churches. As you know, we're going to celebrate the combined worship service with them next week, which means there's no service here in person or online. Go to the Zoom link for there. But every Wednesday morning, they get up at 5 a.m. and go to Westminster Presbyterian Church to serve breakfast to people who are without homes, without a meal. And as he says, heating up the ovens to produce a hot breakfast for the hungry and homeless, putting on the grits, omelets, home fries, coffee, cookies, served with joy and respect to all of the guests that enter those doors. And being a part of that team who is doing that loving service is what has mattered so much to Sam. So I thank you, Sam and Jeannie, for sending in your words. I thank you all who came forward to tell us your story of sacred service at Unity. And I am really grateful that I am all set for our talk 2 weeks from now, when you're going to see some fancy slides I put together and everything. But I want to just end. We'll sing that one more time maybe at the end. But I would like to just land us with these words. Steve Garnes Holmes does a daily uplifting meditation. And here is this scripture that you will hear again, but it will land us today. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. That's from Mark. We'll hear Luke's version of that next week. But here is Steve's reflection on that. God, can I hear the call? Do I listen? Raise my head from my consuming tasks to listen for another voice. Do I recognize your voice when I hear it? And when you call me to service, to healing, to justice. What do I need to leave behind to get up and follow? What nets entangle me? The familiar, the safe, the comfortable. Will I let go of people's kindness, a sense of entitlement to peace and security? Do I see the webs of injustice that benefit me and hurt others, entangling nets I have tended and mended? Can I let go? So may we be happy. May we support the happiness of all our sisters and brothers. May we be love and kindness and justice in action, always and in all ways, and may we be blessing to the world. Amen.